How should we play it?
What you're listening to is a fabulous little bit of pop music history.
John, I've got your number. I need to make you mine. John, it'll change your number. It's 675309.
It's 675309.
Chances are you know this number, 867-5309. No area code, just the 7 digits. Immortal because of this 80s hit song, the actual title of which you may not know. Jenny. That was her number.
Jenny, Jenny, who can I turn to? You give me something I can hold on to.
And this song for Jim Keller and Tommy Heath was lightning in a bottle for one unforgettable moment back in the 1980s when they both thought they had it made.
It's part of a cultural phenomenon where people sing all the parts and everything. Oh. And it appears to be that I was the guy that did that, but I have a tenuous hold on reality, so I can't be sure that it was me that did it, but everyone says it's me. I'll just go out and sing it.
You can't screw that song up. If you hear a really bad bar band playing that, it's fantastic. If you hear, it's almost better than a great band, but a terrible band playing this song, it's hysterical.
Well, kids can play it really fast, too.
Jenny, Jenny, you're the girl for me. You don't know me, but you make me so darn happy.
Heath and Keller were the two main musicians of the band Tommy Two Tone. Keller and songwriter Alex Call wrote Jenny, and Tommy Heath did the vocal and the arrangement that made the song famous. This is the first time Heath and Keller have sat down and played this song in 30 years. You might say this song was one of the anthems that announced the arrival of the 1980s. Jenny was the name of the tune, but by the time it made number 4 on the Billboard Top 100 in 1982, everyone knew it as 867-5309. The band was a rock and roll machine called Tommy Two Tone. The song, which may have caused some regret for people named Jenny, has continued to disrupt the mathematical world. This twin prime number was cited by Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan as the fourth most common password in a recent case about internet security. When the number becomes available in an area code and offered for auction, there is a predictable mob scene. Tommy Heath and Jim Keller got together back in the late 1970s. Keller was a carpenter and a self-taught guitarist. Heath was a trained musician who dropped out of piano studies to try the pop scene. There's no debate about the popularity of the number in their song, 867-5309. But I was surprised to learn that Jim Keller and Tommy Heath have very different stories about that mysterious Jenny.
Well, I was writing...
Well, we have different versions of that. So.
Well, I was on a busman's holiday from working with Tommy, and there's a guy named Alex Call, who is a good buddy of mine, who is a great, great songwriter. And he and I were writing songs together. And I literally went out to his crib. He had this storage container out near San Quentin, on the road out there, that was guys would use as like studios. And I got out there and basically Alex had written this thing. And I showed up and I went, what the hell is that? And so we played it. We finished it together, this song. And then I brought this into our band. And I think everybody that heard it, you know, you didn't know what was good about it, but just that progression was intoxicating. And so Tommy heard that and then he started singing it. And, you know, it was fun from the very beginning, that track.
And what's your version? We're not going to end anything here.
Well, since they wrote it, I happen to know Jenny, and she claims...
You know Jenny?
Yes, I do. And I still talk to her once in a while. I've promised I'd never tell anybody where she lived or anything. And it was her parents' number. So that's my version.
I didn't know that.
You went out with her once.
You went out with her once?
I'm not.
He doesn't
no comment.
No comment.
So there is a girl named Jenny with a number.
There are a lot of Jennies in the world.
A lot of Jennies, a lot of numbers. Yeah.
We all have our own Jenny, but I have mine, I guess.
This past week, exactly 30 years after playing their final show together, the band members Jim Keller and Tommy Heath reunited for a performance at a venue on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. They have lived very different lives over the last 30 years. Tommy has continued to play music and tours constantly. His daughter is studying astrophysics at Columbia University. Jim Keller is a successful manager for composer Philip Glass, is married to a successful fashion art director. They have a teenage daughter. Heath and Keller spoke about what it's like to catch lightning in a bottle. One magical time.
We had a hit on the first record, so it actually wasn't the first thing that we had. We had the song called Angels Say No, which was a top 40 single on the first record. Obviously, no one remembers that song. And when 867 came out, what happens is that was a top 5 single. And all of a sudden, you go from being like a successful pop band to all of a sudden your mother's friends know who you are because they see you on People magazine in the shopping line. And so there's this whole, like, you know, whatever, that 1% thing that starts happening where the recognizability and all that stuff really changed completely for a short period of time, I might add.
Did you deal with that differently as personalities?
Yeah, we walked through all the 80s things and survived and did it differently.
We did exactly what you're supposed to do when you're a pop band.
Which was
you take that rise, you have a great, great time, you hit the peak, and you crash and burn when you get to the other side. Which is, let's face it, I mean, that's what pop bands, that's what pop culture is about. And people always say, well, why did you guys break up? And I just laugh because the question is, why did these other bands stay together? You're not supposed to. You're not built for longevity. You know, and there's something really fantastic about that little thing that happens. And, you know, sure, we go, you know, there's the aftermath, which is not pretty for almost anybody who goes through the flips of the other side of that arc. But it's a great little thing to watch, you know, and to be a part of.
Where did you crash and burn?
Well, it started in California. You know, when the band went down, I went down with it, you know, and it's like, okay, what do I do now? You know, you're basically trained to, you know, when you're trained to be in a rock band, I'm not quite sure where that leads you after that, you know.
Carpenter, rock band thing.
Well, you know, you're just being a pop star. And we had enough of that success that it, like, what do you do after that? And the money dries up, and it's a little tricky, and it takes a while to figure it out for most everybody.
How did you crash and burn, if you did?
Well, we had, instead of cashing in on our second album, we decided to do the big concept album, and we worked on our third album for 2 years, and all these geniuses at CBS that had made us famous all got fired. And it was just like, I think I'll take a year off and go back home to Mendocino, and then I'll come down and do it again. And never figured out quite how to do it again. So.
One of your main gigs is being a manager for Philip Glass?
Yeah.
Right. Do you remember when you told Philip that you're behind this song?
Well, it was
a little
really,
different style for him.
You know, Philip is not that attuned to the pop music scene, certainly from the 80s. But I remember there was one moment that was funny where I was in my office and I had a gold record from our career that was on the floor, which I never hung on the wall. It had arrived and I put it over the floor, and Philip came in and said, oh, is that one of mine? And I said, Philip, it's a gold single. I don't think so. So
you've had a gold single and he's never had.
Well, he's had plenty of other gold things, but not a single, not a pop single. And I have to say, there's something so cool about a hit single. You know, to me as a songwriter, it's like the guys that I worship, you know, whether it's Ray Davies or these brilliant, you know, guys that make pop records, you know, David Byrne, you know, people who have that, can take and bottle that magic, to me send shivers up my spine to this day. And to be a part of any kind of little piece of that is really unique and special.
Thank you very much.
The reunited Tommy Two-Tone, Jim Keller and Tommy Heath, brought their bottled magic back to the stage one more time and opened up for a New York crowd that was thrilled to hear 867-5309 and those familiar chords.
Y'all know this one. Hey! Come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.